Hi there. Welcome to A Waldorf Journey, a podcast for teachers, parents, students, and anyone who's passionate about Waldorf education. I'm Meredith, and I am really glad to be talking to you today. And I have some sort of exciting news to share, and I wanted to talk to you too just about a topic that's kind of near and dear to my heart that I've been thinking a lot about recently, and I wanted to share it with you. So the big news that I wanted to start off with is to talk about a new project that I've got in the works, and it is called Waldorf at Work. And here's the idea, is that for many years, I have been looking for the way to share my content, whether it's my lesson plans or ideas that I implemented in the classroom, curriculum materials, all of these things. I have been looking for a way to share those things in a way that is like as easy as possible. And what I always think about are those moments when my colleagues and I would sort of run into each other in the hallways. And we would, you know, either first thing in the morning or maybe right after our lesson, we would meet up in the hallways and we would talk about our lessons and things that went well, things that we struggled with, ideas that we were having, questions that we had, and we would just talk about them. And I am telling you, some of those conversations gave the best ideas that I've ever had, that I've ever implemented in my classroom. And I have wanted for a long time to find a way to like mimic that, to bring that same sort of energy where it's really sort of off the cuff. They're just like the best ideas that we've had, because, and so we share them because they're like right there at top of mind. And there's nothing polished about it. We're not like going and preparing something to share with our colleagues the night before. We're really just talking about what worked, what didn't work, the questions we were having. And it was a real sort of genuine, organic colleagueship that emerged in those times. So I've been trying to think about the way that I could do something like that with the Waldorf curriculum materials that I share on A Waldorf Journey and here on the podcast and on social media, all of those things. And what I've struggled with in sharing that content is just the barrier of creating content digitally, and that there's a lot that goes into recording and editing a podcast, or creating a blog post, editing the images, writing things up, all of that. There's a lot that goes into it, and because it requires so much effort to really just take all of these resources that are right at my disposal on my shelf next to me in my office, which I would be so happy to just pull any of those things off the shelf and give them to somebody and share them with somebody. But putting them together and finding a way to do that in a beautiful way online is more time consuming and challenging than you might think. So I've been looking for a way that is going to just make it so that I can easily turn to my shelf, see what looks interesting and fun and what sticks with me and seems relevant for the moment, and share it. And what I have found is Substack. And I have been a fan of Substack for quite some time. I have shared other things on Substack, and I've sort of dabbled with starting a Substack newsletter in the past. But this is like my first idea that I think is really very well suited to the Substack platform. And the reason why Substack is so great is because it allows you to share content, people subscribe, and it goes straight into their inbox, and you can create audio, video, of course, images with, or blog posts with images and written content. All of those things are just super easy to create within the Substack platform. And even better, rather than just getting uploaded to a website, which it does get uploaded to a website, Substack is set up so that any content you create goes straight to your followers' inboxes. So everybody gets an email whenever something new has been created. And so you don't have to rely on people to stumble across it on your website, or you don't have to send out a separate email telling people, hey, I just wrote this great piece of content. You might find it useful. It all just automatically happens. And so I really am so excited about it because I think that it is a easy, user-friendly way to put out content in a way that people can access really easily. And for me, and as the content creator, it is so easy. Like, I can just open up Substack, sit down and hit record and start talking. And so that is what I am really making an effort to do. And I think that what's going to end up happening is that the content that comes out on Substack is going to be so much more just genuine and authentic and real. And not that the other content I create is not real, but it just is going to be so much more like of the moment and what's on my mind. And because it's easy to do, I'm going to be able to create content more often, which maybe you've noticed, I have not been on here recording a podcast in quite some time. And that is because it just takes so much time and effort. This episode, I'm trying something different. I'm just hitting record and I'm talking and I'm not going to edit. I'm just going to upload it and let you listen to it. But that's really what I'm trying to do, is just make all of this just more authentic, of the moment, and, you know, easy, so that you can get the content easily, I can create it easily, we can share things. Oh, and that's the other thing that's really great about Substack, is that you can it's really easy to share, and, you know, there's a chat function, and there's a you can ask questions and all of this. So it's much more community based right there within the platform. So the way that Substack works is that, so if you have already been a follower and you've gotten my emails, then you are already a free subscriber to Waldorf at Work, the Substack newsletter. And you've probably already received some things. If you haven't, check your junk box, because that you should have. And so you're already a free subscriber. If you are a free subscriber, you're going to get like monthly content, a pretty robust monthly post that has seasonal content, songs, poems, stories, activities, things that you might do that month. And so that's the piece of content, you know, I'll really be putting a lot of effort into creating, and that'll link to like downloads, things that you can, you know, get from my Google Drive. I think you'll find it super helpful, and it's very of the moment. It's going to be, you know, seasonal. So I just released my January seasonal content that has a bunch of songs that I sang, poems that you might say, stories that you might read, and an idea for a painting. So all of that is available to free subscribers. If you're a free subscriber, you're going to get kind of a rundown, like a preview of other things that are available, and a weekly sort of rundown of what the content, the upcoming content is, and what was released last week. If you are a paid subscriber, then you'll have access to more content. Of course, I'm going to release maybe two or three pieces of content. Like I said, I'm trying to keep it super organic and just like of the moment. And it will include quite a bit of audio, video, in addition to written posts. So 2 to 3 pieces of content a week if you are a paid subscriber. So I really hope that you will subscribe, and even just at that free level. So like I said, if you were already a follower, already receiving my emails, then you're already a free subscriber. If you are just a listener and you have been listening to my podcast, then I really suggest that you go to waldorfatwork.substack.com and you can sign up to be a free subscriber there. If you want to be a paid subscriber, you can do that too. You'll just see on the screen, you can choose what level of subscription you want. And again, my hope is to just keep it affordable and valuable and accessible, that I'll just be able to put things out there. You can download them, listen to them, read them, whatever it might be, and it'll come right into your inbox so that you won't have to remember to like go check the website or remember what that thing was that you subscribed for. It's just going to come right to you and you will get it no matter what. So it's not like one of those memberships that you sign up for and that you forget about because you don't ever go back to the website. This is going to be coming right to you in your inbox. You will always get it. Okay. So I hope that you will sign up if you're not already signed up. Again, it's waldorfatwork.substack.com, and I will put a link in the show notes as well so that you can subscribe. And so I didn't want to make this whole episode just a pitch, but I thought I would share a little bit about one of the posts that I posted recently, and it is about like one of these ideas about Waldorf education that is really important to me, and that I think it's sort of it's a shame, I will say, that this idea of Waldorf education is perpetuated, and it's really about this question of, is it Waldorf enough? And I've talked about this before in terms of parenting, and I know that as a Waldorf parent, it is very easy to worry that you are not doing things in a way that is Waldorf enough, and or that, you know, the Waldorf police are going to be out there. And what that really comes down to for me is this misconception of what Waldorf education is, and that it's like this idea that Waldorf education is a set of practices or strategies or techniques that you use, and that if you don't do those things, then you're not really Waldorf, and if you do those things, then you are Waldorf, and that is mistaken. And what, you know, so often, like, what those things are, you know, we think Waldorf education is like playing the flute, speaking verses, singing songs, telling students what to do in a very sing-song voice, spending lots of time outside, doing watercolor painting, doing morning movement activities, doing handwork projects. All of these things are like Waldorf experiences. And it is true that those are often things that you find in a Waldorf classroom. But in themselves, they are not Waldorf. And what, to my mind, makes up Waldorf education is the real blending of those activities in a way that is full of awareness of the intention and the impact that they have on the student experience. So, for example, if you're trying to have your students, I'm just trying to think of an example on the fly here. If you're trying to have your students wake up for the day and get ready to learn and, you know, just engage, then you're not really going to sing them a lullaby, for example. Even though singing a lullaby might be a perfectly Waldorf-y thing to do. And same with like speaking verses. You know, I have seen teachers and students speak verses in a way that is so it's just like droning, and there's nothing really alive about it. And to me, what is the intention of speaking a verse, right? Why are you speaking a verse? And that is really the point that I'm trying to make with all of these activities, is that, sure, playing the flute is a Waldorf experience. The question, though, is why are you playing the flute? And we play what's playing the flute itself is not the Waldorf experience. The intention behind playing the flute, the experience that you want students to have. So the breathing activity that they get when they play the flute, the harmonic musical experience, the experience that they have of, you know, connecting with their classmates and, you know, coming together to create music together. Those are Waldorf experiences. Playing the flute is one way to get to them. And that is the point that I want to make here, because too often I have come across teachers who, for one reason or another, feel like they are challenged by one of these activities, whether it's, you know, playing the flute, singing, morning movement, doing handwork, whatever these things are. I've encountered teachers who feel challenged. And my personal example is art, and especially painting. It does not come naturally to me to engage in the visual arts. It is something that I really need to work at. And so the example that I give in the post on Waldorf at Work, I'll link to it, is this idea of there being multiple ways of accomplishing the same effect. And so for me, if I were looking for an artistic experience for my students that I wanted to be like calming and soothing and nourishing, I probably would not choose painting, because for me, painting with a group of students is not a calming, nourishing activity. For me, I recognize that my limitations as a teacher, I have a hard time bringing painting in a way that is relaxed and soothing, because to be honest, I have some stress about it. To me, it is not the most natural, easy thing to bring to my students. This doesn't mean that we never paint, right? What it means is that for me as a teacher, I need to think about when, and I need to think about what I'm trying to accomplish and the how and when to make that work. So, for example, if I were looking to paint with my students, I know that they need that experience, that it is healthy for them to have the experience of watercolor painting, but I know that I am a little stressed about it. So if I'm going to do painting with my students, I need to do it at a time when I can prepare for it and I can deal with being a little stressed out. And so for that reason, I would not paint with my students first thing in the morning. Now, I will tell you, I have done that just because there was something in the schedule or there was some reason I needed to do that. You know, so we make our compromises, but on the whole, I would not paint first thing in the morning when I'm still like getting my feet under me and establishing my authority and feeling confident in the classroom. Like, I need to start that time, first thing in the morning for me needs to be something that I'm confident about, I feel good about, we can get going, I can, you know, assert my authority, and we can be, you know, the students can feel confident that I'm there and ready to lead them. And then later we can paint. I would also not paint with my students when they're like at their most challenging, like Friday afternoons at 2 o'clock or something like that. I would be really intentional and thoughtful. Now, there might be some people out there, some teachers, who painting is just like their favorite thing. They find it incredibly relaxing. They know that they can lead their students through it confidently and with ease. And so those teachers may benefit from starting every morning with painting, because not every morning, but from starting the day with painting, because they know that it is going to like feed that their students, you know, perception of them as the authority. And it is going to help them to feel more confident as they're getting rolling with the day. That just wasn't my experience. And the reason I'm like sharing all of this is because as I have encountered teachers who have struggled with one or another aspect of the curriculum, whether it's, you know, I can't draw or I don't like to sing or, you know, whatever those things are, I have encountered so many teachers who have felt like they're not sure that they can be an effective Waldorf teacher because they don't like to sing or they don't do handwork or they're not good at the visual arts. And that to me is tragic. And that, you know, what this world needs is more Waldorf teachers. And to me, and my understanding of Waldorf education is not that it is a collection of activities that you do and tick the boxes on. It's more that you understand and you approach those activities in a way with a great understanding about how they impact your students and the effect that you are intending to have. And so what I always say, your guide to being a great Waldorf teacher is 1, observe your students, 2, understand child development, and then 3, follow your intuition. And if you're doing those things, then you are really bringing Waldorf education in a way that aligns with child development, aligns with your observation of your students, and it's not this external list of check boxes that tell you what you should do to be a great Waldorf teacher. So maybe I'm preaching to the choir on this, and maybe everybody knows that, you know, that's not what Waldorf education is, that you can be a great Waldorf teacher and not play the flute. You can be a great Waldorf teacher and really not be good at the visual arts. That's not what it's about. Really, it's about understanding your students and observing them and understanding the approach of child development and really making that a part of your decision making in the classroom. So, as I mentioned, I wrote a post about this on Waldorf at Work, and I will link to that. But I'm really curious to know if other people have this experience and what you think about this idea. And am I the only one who really, I mean, is it obvious to people that, you know, playing the flute, speaking verses, and singing is not what being a great Waldorf teacher is about? So let me know. I would love to hear from you. You can email me at Meredith, it's M-E-R-E-D-I-T-H, at A Waldorf Journey, or hop on over to waldorfatwork.substack.com, and I hope you will subscribe. And again, you can send me a message on Substack or send me an email, but I would really love to hear from you and to know what your thoughts about this are. So I hope you're having a great day, and I will talk to you soon.